How many of you ever I guess that was skied down sand dunes? Anybody ever done that? I've been down the sand dunes, National Monument, Colorado, but I did not climb a sand dune, nor did I ski, snowboard, or slide down one. So, but hey, celebrations for all of that. Today is one of those days where there's too much packed in. It is Memorial Day Sunday. It is Trinity Sunday. It's special offering because of the peace with justice. And in all the years that I have been in ministry, I don't believe I have ever focused strictly on the Trinity. And so I wanted to do that. I wanted to just walk into the Trinity today and spend some time with it, because it's all very straightforward, isn't it? The Trinity is easy and simple. All of us understand it completely, right? If you understand it completely, get with me afterwards, because it is an interesting thing to be in the middle of the Trinity. And it is also worth noting that although the United Methodist Church is Trinitarian, that is, we believe in the Trinity, not all Christian churches are. For example, Jehovah's Witness and Seventh-day Adventists and the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, do not believe in the Holy Trinity. Their theology is different than ours. I can't speak to any of those, but I think we could take a minute, since we are Trinitarian, to focus on what and how the Trinitarian is and what it's about. One of the things you'll notice in our sanctuary is that our cross with the two shadows forms three images of the cross, and that's not just by chance, but I tried to do that when we set up the lights so that we have a Trinitarian representative there. None of them is more important or more powerful than the others, but there are three crosses. Does that make any sense to you? Do you follow what's going on there? You can also look at the cover of your bulletin as we reference. I'm going to talk a little bit about that image. Those of you online probably don't have a copy of the bulletin in front of them, but Pi is going to try and highlight the images so that we can follow as we talk about that and work our way through it. So the first image that we want to talk about, it, and we look at that cover. Do we have the cover there, Paya? Okay, you're on it right now. So in that cover, and I don't know which Trinity Church I found that at, nor the artist. I would cite them if I could. But you'll see that there's three different components to that image. All right, so let's take that apart one at a time. So we'll start at the top with the Father image, okay? And the Father image is YHWH, Yahweh, is how we pronounce that. That's a tetragrammaton. And it means literally four letters to represent something. I don't understand all of the language around and what goes on with that, but YHWH is one of our symbols. If you see that in a church and you see YHWH, it's referring to Yahweh or Yehovah. It is the symbol of the all-powerful of God. There are influences from the phrase Adonai, my Lord. And we also hear the phrase Elohim. We hear God called God. So there are all of those in there. Below the symbol of the Yahweh, you see four letters there. And believe it or not, I stared at those and I thought, I wonder what A, B, and B, A mean. Well, it isn't. It's A, B, B, A, Abba, Father. In Hebrew, how do you say Father? Abba, Abba. So there it is. So we see all that. Now, there's also this hand there. Have you ever seen that in any symbols, in any churches, or anywhere where you're at? Now, if you look at that, the hand is, and I'm holding mine up as well, but there are three fingers that are up, thumb and two fingers. Those symbolize the Trinity. And there are two fingers in the palm. Those represent the dual nature of Christ. Totally human, totally divine. Three and two. Does that make sense? Now I'm going to make it more interesting. If you fold your thumb in so that you now have two fingers up and three fingers in, then the two fingers up are the divine nature of Christ, human and divine, and the three fingers in become the Trinity. It's also the Boy Scout symbol, if you want to do it that way. So that three and two is, it doesn't matter which way you do it. You can do two up or three up, but three and two symbolizing and referring to the Trinity, the three in one, the Father. We go to next to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, we've heard of this. We just had Pentecost Sunday. How many of you remember it was Pentecost Sunday not long ago? How many of you know what the Pentecost Holy Spirit is? Okay, well, that Holy Spirit, when Jesus used the term, he said, I will leave the Paraclete with you, or Parakletos. And they weren't too sure what he meant by that when he said it. And it has been translated as a comforter, an advocate, a counselor, an encourager, a friend, or the Holy Spirit. So, and it's been called the Holy Ghost. How many of you remember it being called the Holy Ghost? So this gift from Pentecost, and it's symbolized with the dove, which is a symbol of peace. And you notice around the dove's head, there's a circle there. That means he's holy. That's called a nimbus in symbology and what have you. But you also see the tongues as a fire that descended upon all of those gathered in the upper room. When the Pentecost came and the tongues as a fire descended upon them and gave each of them utterance. I love that word, utterance. The ability to speak and to speak in the tongues of the whole world. Everybody, we can speak to all people in all times. So the Holy Spirit there symbolized in that particular symbol. So then we move over to this other symbol, and it shows the Lamb. And the Lamb is an important symbol to the Hebrews because once a year, all families were required to gather. And if they were small families, they might gather with other families so they could afford a lamb to have a sacrificial lamb, and it became their atonement for the year. Their yearly atonement for sin and transgressions as we worked into the Passover, the Paschal Lamb. The Lamb is holding the staff of the cross, the standard bearer, and the flag. How many of you recognize that flag? The Christian flag. The flag of symbolizing that we are a gathered people and under who the leadership of the Lamb, if you will. I have a question for you now. The Lamb is standing on something. Look on your bulletin or look on the screen there, and you decide, is the Lamb standing on the altar, which is where lambs would have been sacrificed, or is it something else? How about a book? How about the New Testament? I don't know for sure. I can't interpret this any more authoritatively than you are, but it seems that there are little horizontal lines in there. And in Jesus' time, they were moving from scroll to codex. Need to give you a little bit of background on things that happened historically. In ancient times, the Egyptians, for example, when they wrote, everything was on a scroll. And you rolled it up, so you had an entire book, and it was on the scroll. And if you were at the end of the scroll and you wanted to read something from the beginning, it meant re-rolling the scroll all the way across. And if you go in and visit a Jewish synagogue, they will read from the Torah on a scroll, and they have sacred Torahs in each of their synagogues. And they will unroll them and move them as the scripture moves through the course of the year. So the scroll was a way that they recorded everything until they came up with the idea of, well, let's cut it into chunks and put them together and bind one edge. We would call it a book. Scholars call it a codex. And they were just coming into use. And you can imagine, you can go from the last page of a book to the front page of a book pretty darn simply, can't you? So the codex was gaining some use. Is the Lamb standing on an altar are on a codex. You want to vote? Let's take a quick vote here. How many of you think the Lamb is standing on an altar? Okay. How many think it's standing on the codex? Okay. I don't know which of us is right, but congratulations to all of you for voting. I mean, we got that down there and we have that on that. So, the Trinity, an important part of our beliefs, of our system, of our symbology, but the Trinity doesn't come from Scripture. There's not a passage in Scripture that distinctly says God is three in one people. God is the Godhead, three persons in one. There's nowhere that says that. All of that came really into being through a council in, I wrote that down, I don't know. Oh, here it is, 1215. The Council of Lateran IV. How many of you remember that one? I would be really stunned if anybody remembered that. 1215, they sat down and they said, well, how do we figure this out? And they're the ones that really defined how we talk about the Godhead. Understanding three in one. How do we understand that? Because we are monotheistic. A lot of ancient religions were polytheistic, meaning many gods. Think about the Romans. They had this god and they had that god and all of the different gods. There was a god of the hearth. There was a god of war. There was a god of gardening. There were all the different gods gathered in the hierarchy. The Greeks, they were polytheistic. Some claim that the early Hebrews were polytheistic. I can't make an argument either way on that. But we, as a culture and as Christians, are monotheistic. We believe in one God, only one. And that's the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. So one God, monotheistic. So how do we have three? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Isn't that three gods? There's some arguing people that get into this in some depth. We're not going to go down there too far. But some of the scripture that refers to Trinity does exist. James read some this morning. The Genesis passage is interesting. God said, let us make Adam in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over everything. So God created Adam in God's image. In the image of God, they were created. Male and female, God created them. That's a very weighty Scripture. There's a lot in it, and to really look at that, I'm going to take it apart into three different pieces. The first is dominion. Let them have dominion over all things. As I worked for a carpenter, as a carpenter right out of college, right out of high school, I was out of college. So. But I was helping build houses, and the boss man, Joe, can't remember his name, but in his office, he had a terrarium with snakes in it. Now, he claimed that two of them were poisonous and one wasn't. I don't really know, but I just didn't like being around that terrarium with these creepy crawlies in there and wondering how thick the glass was and whether or not they could get out of there. But what if you worked for somebody and the boss said, I want you to take care of this. I'm going on vacation. I want you to be the caretaker of this. Now, how many of you like snakes? That's another question I should ask. You know, not a single hand went up there. They're actually very smooth, which is just fascinates me. They're not slimy. But that's another story. We won't go down that very far. But the humanity is given dominion to take care of. If I were in charge of taking care of the boss's terrarium, I would be very sure that I took care of it. You could get fired if you didn't do it right. The boss could come down on you and penalize you and do, you know, you would make sure to be a good steward over that terrarium. Do you understand what I'm saying there? God is now giving dominion of all things created to humanity, to us. This is a stewardship passage. Take care of Mother Earth. take care of that wonderful, beautiful thing that God has created. Be good stewards. So, there is that piece. So, that scripture has a lot to say about that. The scripture also says God created Adam. So, God created Adam, male and female, God created them, and let them have dominion over everything. The tenses are in the scripture. God created Adam, which is the pronunciation of the Hebrew word. Male and female, God created them, plural, and let them have dominion over everything. How can God be a them? Not God. How can Adam be a them? I contend that Adam, in this reference, is humanity, humankind. We use that term sometimes. Man did this. Armstrong was on this moon. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. He was talking about humanity. And so we can make that interchange and make sure we're aware of it. But it tickles me that God created Adam, male and female, God created them. Just hear that and hear that, the richness of what's being defined there and what humanity is and who we are. But here's the one that gets back to where we are at the Trinity. God is plural. Let us create them. Let us make, I'm going to have to read it up there. Let us make Adam in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over everything. So God created Adam in God's image. In the image of God, they were created, male and female. God created them. Let us make them in God's image. Again, the tense is plural. Let me make them would be what would we expect if God is creating. But God says, let us make them. Who else is hanging around with God? The plurality of God in three persons is the beginning of that discussion. So now we'll take and we'll jump to the New Testament. This is the first chapter. James read this again. This is from Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. And we know that the word, stick with me here, the word is logos. So the word logos is translated to word in English. But logos is clearly a reference to Jesus Christ. So if we change that, then we can rewrite that, and we have that corrected. Do we have that other correction, Paya? In the beginning was the Word. Okay, and you see it there. So now the next slide. In the beginning was Christ. And Christ was with God. And Christ was God. So now we hear an important part. Two things are going on. One is, so often people may say, well, there's God. And then God has a son. God created or bore a son. And some would say, well, then that means you have two deities. And it would also say that the Son is not as complete as the Father. That they are not, that they are different. And they would say, we have an argument here about two different deities. But in the Godhead, they are one and the same. And that's hard to reconcile. That's hard to understand. But here is Christ, who was with God in those moments of creation. In the beginning, when there was darkness and there was nothing, there was God and that other, the Logos, the Christ. And we would argue, so also the Holy Spirit. Where am I at, Paya? What slide are we on? The Trinity, then, I think we're at that. There we go. That's a good one. Tried to find some interesting pictures, different ways that artists have interpreted God in three persons? How do we view a God that is three in one? And I've made the argument that it's three views, a left side view, a right side view, a front view, that there are three different views, but they're all of one and the same God. And I hold to that, but there are nuance that you have to understand, that they are not one and the same, but they are three in one. That's what our theology says. The Father is not the Son is not the Father, but they are together as one. The Holy Spirit, same thing. And all of them combined, and so viewing them, I didn't find any artist that did a better view than this. The image that you see there, the Trinity of three gathered in one. How can that be? How can you have three in one? I'll tell you what, whenever I have two or more, there's an argument. You know, any time you have a gathering of more than one, there's going to be two sets of opinions. And unless one is completely subservient, you're going to have disagreements, you're going to have conflicts. And yet here is, in God, three harmoniously as what we call the Godhead, the Trinity, God and Son and Holy Spirit. How can that be? How can it be possible to have three in one? We are humans, and we may not be able to comprehend that. Think about that a minute. See, Oceana was up here. The little one was up here. And I'll bet you money you could spend all day trying to tell her how nuclear energy works, and she's not going to get it. That's okay. She's not ready to hear, understand. It's a complex set of things that are going on that are beyond her ability to comprehend. We as humans want to believe that we understand everything, that we have it all figured out, that we have all the science written down, and that it's all delineated and explained. We don't. And as your pastor, I need to make sure you hear me say that. We don't know everything. The Bible doesn't answer everything. God knows. Amen? How can it be that God is three persons in one? We cannot comprehend that. How can there be peace on earth? This is Peace with Justice Sunday. And on this Sunday, we are about remembering peace on earth. The more I see of people gathered around the world, the more I see different ideologies and different beliefs, different things that are ethnically important and different things that are emphasized. How can we bring unity out of all of that? We cannot conceive of it. God can. We need to acknowledge that. And we need to take and from our one small part of the puzzle, from our one small contribution to God's works, do what we can in God's name and trust in that God in whom we believe. Amen. Amen.